Our second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 20 through 31. Hear the word of the Lord as it comes from the pen of the physician. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich. For you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now. For you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now. For you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to false prophets. But I say to you, listen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless are those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. May God's blessings be upon those who hear and obey his word. Today we're celebrating All Saints' Day. Typically, it's celebrated on the first Sunday of the month of February. But since we're people of grace, we don't mind adjusting the liturgical calendar to suit our own needs. I say that because in my first church, as a pastor, I was hounded by someone who kept insisting that I wasn't a Presbyterian because I didn't do it exactly according to the Book of Order. I've since learned how to deal with such complaints without destroying my self-confidence. Anyways, the practice of celebrating All Saints' Day dates back, or has its origins in the 3rd century, and officially dates back to the 9th century, when Gregory the, I believe, 6th, declared it an official Catholic holiday. Over the years, the church has canonized more than 900 women and men. Pope John Paul holds the record for canonizing the most. He did 111. He was not one who was prone to shy away from controversy. One year he decided to canonize, confirm with sainthood, Sister Teresa Benedicta, a Carmelite nun. She was a Catholic philosopher, and she died in the gas chambers at Auschwitz. The controversy centered on whether she died for her Roman Catholic faith or her Jewish heritage. Because before she became Sister Teresa, she was formerly known as Edith Stein, a renowned Jewish intellect. The Jewish community and the family argued that she was executed for her heritage. The Pope chose to canonize her for both. There's little doubt that Edith Stein was an exceptional woman, both as a Jew and as a Catholic. She was born on Yom Kippur in 1891 to a very Orthodox family. She was born in the city that is now Poland. She's a brilliant philosopher. She had marvelous writings. She began her career as an atheist. She wanted to teach at the university, but back then, only men were allowed. So she taught children. And she worked in an elementary school. She was forced to quit in 1933 when the Nazis took over. Later that year, she converted to the Carmelite order. When she took her vows, she offered her life for the atonement of the unbelieving Jewish people. At the convent, she continued to teach philosophy to the nuns and anyone else who would gather, and to write. Among her admirers was a Polish priest named Karol Yatovla. I'm Ukrainian, I should be able to pronounce that. My grandparents lived in what is now Poland, even. But you might recall the name, for he became Pope John Paul II. He admired Edith Stein, and so he decided to canonize her. The first was to seek redemption for the Catholics' lethargic response to the German occupation. Rather than serve a prophetic role, the church cowered in fear. The voice of the church was silent. John Paul II also wanted to broaden the base of sainthood to include people of different nationalities, different backgrounds, different ways of working. In 1938, Sister Teresa decided to flee to Switzerland to escape the Nazis. But because the Carmelite nunnery did not have room for her sister, she stayed in Germany. On the day of her arrest, she said to her sister, "Come, Rosa, we are going for our people." I would hope that every person would admire John Paul II's decision to canonize Sister Teresa. She was indeed an exceptional woman. However, we are all tempted to make the same mistake that I would accuse our brothers and sisters of the Catholic faith, that we seem to elevate certain people to sainthood as a kind of spiritual hall of fame. I know what this is like because I lived near Canton, Ohio, and all the men know what Canton, Ohio is. It's the home of the football, the NFL Hall of Fame. I remember when it first opened, I walked in and I was just kind of awestruck by all of the footballs, the helmets, the shoulder pads, the old uniforms. These were the men of great deeds, men that I admired, men that I aspired to be like, but knew I could never be like them. Sometimes we think of people who seem to have an extra edge to them, that somehow they're able to do things that other people aren't, that they have tremendous faith, and we want to kind of elevate them to this spiritual hall of fame. We have to be careful, because we have to remember that we are all saints in God, not only those who have gone before us, but we ourselves now. Later in the service, we'll sing my favorite hymn, For All the Saints. That's one of the advantages of being a preacher. You get to choose all your favorite hymns. And one line goes, we feebly struggle, they in glory shine. Yes, they in glory shine, do shine, and we do feebly struggle, but we are still to live out that sermon that Jesus delivered on the mountain. By saying that sainthood is only for the super religious is to excuse the inexcusable, is to find a way out so we don't have to work that hard. We don't have to worry about not measuring up. The old reformers, John Calvin, Martin Luther, John Knox, they were worried about this idea of sainthood. They didn't like the fact that the saints were venerated, and they believed that only Jesus Christ should be worshiped and offered prayers to. But also they wanted to prevent this idea that there was this hall of fame for the spiritual giants. They wanted to get across the idea that every believer is to live as a saint. In the Greek, the word that's used for saint is also used often for holy. And really, holy really means just set apart. For instance, that goblet and that pitcher are holy, not because that clay has some intrinsic value to it, but because it's been set apart for a specific reason. It is to hold the juice that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. The plates that we have are set apart. Therefore, they are holy as we receive communion. A saint really is someone who gets so caught up in the ways of God that they live an extraordinary life. A saint must be considered, we all must be considered saints. If you look at the writings of Paul, he uses that word to describe the people of a community. He used it in Ephesians twice to refer to the people. But then he also uses it in Romans. He writes, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Corinthians, both in the first Corinthians and second Corinthians, he begins that letter by saying, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ, called to to be saints. And in Colossians, he writes, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, in Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all called to be saints, but what does that mean? How do we demonstrate that reality in our lives? And really, it's, in one sense, it's quite simple, in another, it's quite profound. We're called to live out the teachings of Christ. We're called to be generous to those who are poor, maybe unemployed, maybe disadvantaged. We're called to be hunger and thirst after righteousness. We're called to mourn with those who mourn, with those who weep because they have lost a relative. We're called to be humble, not proud. We don't need to pound our chests. We don't need to inflate our egos. Nor do we need to elect political candidates who do. There's no place in our lives for fear. There's no place in our lives for intimidation. There's no place in our lives or in politics for racial prejudice, for animosity towards others. When conflict arises, we are to be peacemakers. It's said, and you may have heard it before from others, that when two or more are gathered together, someone will break the egg. During the last year, there's been a lot of eggs that have been broken in this church. It's time for the merciful to not blame, but to simply mop up the floors. It's time for the peacemakers to not find fault, but to rebuild the church into a vital ministry that I know it can have. A college professor one time took his son to church. They sat together in a pew, and they found out that it was All Saints' Day. The professor said to his son, do you know what a saint is? Do you see in those glass windows all those pictures that you see around you? Those pictures are men and women who we designate as saints in the church. And the little boy looked around and he said, so his father said, so what do you think a saint is? Looking at the stained glass window, he said, I think a saint is someone who lets the light shine through. You know, that's no big deal. We don't need to do some monumental task. God doesn't call us to heal the lame. He doesn't call us to give sight to the blind. He doesn't call us to build great cathedrals. He calls us to just let the light of Christ shine in our lives. Think of what a difference that would have made if everyone in this church just let the light shine through. If differences of opinion were settled peacefully, if people were meek and humble. The church should always remember and in a way give honor to people like Francis of Assisi, Edith Steins, Mother Teresa. They performed incredible services for God. The church should also remember ordinary saints, everyday people like you and I, who just let the light shine through. We'll never have a day that is designated to honor us. We'll never have a day in which somehow the divine mysteries of the faith will be illuminated and will be able to give just incredible insight to the glories of the glories of God to someone. But that's okay. God needs people who let the sun shine through and make a difference. On this All Saints Day, I give thanks to the ordinary saints, those who have gone before us and those who sit in the pews before me now. Whether you work in a hospital, a bank, a packing house, an assembly line, an office, you're called to be a saint, to let the light shine through your life. Amen.